for news notes surrounding the NFL draft. Let's first of all talk about what has not happened yet, and that is Jameis Winston becoming a New Orleans Saint. It seems inevitable. Is that what you are hearing as
well? Yeah, I mean, obviously since it's not done, there are potential pitfalls that I guess could prevent it from happening, maybe a physical being one of them, because he did have a reported surgery. But I don't know that. I'm just, you know, speculating on what could be holding it up, because I knew we were waiting at least until after 4 p.m. today for the compensatory pick formula. But they've been in contact with him. It seems like both sides are into the idea, so I'm sure they're going to do whatever it takes to make it work.
Okay, on the surface, it looks like a no-brainer, an easy move to make and a good move to make because there's no risk. Basically, you've got yourself an insurance policy and a backup quarterback for a year, much like you had with Teddy Bridgewater. Drew Brees has been durable up until last year. So there's that. You have a guy that started a lot of games in the league, has played well at times. You have a guy that, you know, is not going to be called upon. I mean, there's no risk involved here. And, you know, there's the opportunity to continue the evaluation of Taysom Hill, whom they've invested in. So from that standpoint, it looks like this is an easy move to make.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was looking at the list of names, and I thought they might sign Mike Glennon or Trevor Siemian, and why not Jameis Winston instead of one of those guys? It's not like they're choosing Jameis Winston instead of Teddy Bridgewater. The one risk and the one question mark is how much is it going to cost, because we know that every dollar counts with the Saints right now. And they've got big extensions coming up with Alvin Kamara and others in the coming years. So the financials are a question mark and exactly how they're going to fit him in. But if the idea is he's coming in at a massive discount because he wants to go to this team that has developed a reputation as you know, the best finishing school for quarterbacks who need to revive their careers, then the Saints should take advantage of that reputation that's well-earned. If a quarterback wants to take a discount to play with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they'll take him. The other benefit is if he doesn't ever start a game for the Saints, he might go start somewhere else next year and they'd end up with a compensatory draft pick.
Precisely. And Adam Schefter of your brand basically said as much in terms of what you just said earlier this afternoon. He said they're getting him at a discounted price, and he wanted to have this opportunity with the Saints, with this offense, with Peyton, with Brees, and that he turned down a better offer from Pittsburgh to do it. So we'll see if that, in fact, turns out to be the case when he comes on board. The downside, well, if he doesn't hit the field, there is no downside. If he hits the field and he becomes a guy that you might make your guy by as early as next year over Taysom Hill, well, then the numbers do come into play. They're ugly. By and large, they're pretty on some fronts. The completion percentage isn't what you want. The interceptions are way bad, and the fumbles are even worse, 50 of those. And then there's the issues off the field. And I think that's the thing that bothers some people more than anything else, because it's more of a pattern of behavior. I think you are, like I am, I'm a huge believer in second chances. Lord knows we all need them. I sure did, and I'm sure you did at some point in your life. But when you're talking about a pattern of behavior, first of all, you know, standing on a table and yelling, you know, a vulgarity at a woman that was really inappropriate, which got him suspended for a game at Florida State. Then the sexual assault allegation at Florida State, a different one altogether. Then the sexual assault allegation from the Uber driver, which earned him a 3-game suspension after the NFL found substance to it. That's the concern, because that's a pattern of behavior. Should it be a concern?
Well, you obviously have to, a team has to weigh those, both whether they think it's going to be a continued pattern and whether, you know, they want to, you know, accept what's happened in the past from a public relations standpoint. I would assume, though, you know, if they've done that vetting, I think it's probably a safe bet or a safe hope that they would get him on his best behavior, so to speak. I mean, I know we just talked about this kind of stuff with Antonio Brown, and I was not comfortable that they were getting Antonio Brown, you know, that would have been a wise investment, because we were seeing just, you know, repeated errors over and over again. This feels like a case where Jameis Winston knows his reputation on and off the field probably needs to be revived, and that this is a spot where he's picking to try to do that and have, you know, second life in his career. So, you know, the teams that often take chances on people at this stage can take advantage of that, and I'm sure they would hope that's the case with Jameis Winston.
Mike Triplett of ESPN.com with us. And, of course, the model's clear with Teddy Bridgewater. And then there's Taysom Hill. He signs the two-year deal. They pay him very well. They tendered him as a first-rounder, which tells you what they think about him. And people are automatically saying about Winston, well, why are you going to make him your backup? Well, I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they believe in Taysom Hill. They would not have tendered him in first-round fashion if they didn't feel that way. They wouldn't have invested in him the way they did just to be a specialist, basically, albeit a very good specialist. I think they absolutely think he's going to be a quarterback and be their quarterback. Any reason to believe that's not the case?
Well, I think there's a difference between successor to Drew Brees and backup, though, which is why it was important for them to sign another quarterback.
Right.
You saw it happen last year with Teddy Bridgewater. If Drew Brees is going to miss a month, if Drew Brees is going to go out in the second quarter of a game, I think maybe it would be Winston. And, I mean, obviously they're going to have to decide through training camp or whatever kind of training camp we have if they feel that way about him. But the thing about Taysom Hill is it probably would be a different game plan and a different offensive plan. And so maybe if Drew Brees was out for the season in September, you turn to Taysom Hill for the rest of the year. But if Brees was going to miss a couple of games, maybe it's you know, Jameis Winston. For two reasons. One, the offense would have to change. And two, Taysom Hill's like your third or fourth best offensive weapon, and you love having him as a runner and receiver. And you know, that's what they'd like to keep doing with him if they can in the meantime.
With regard to the draft, the four selections were the fewest since 2009 that the Saints have made. And yet, I was definitely impressed, and I was definitely liking what the Saints did. In Ruiz, I think they've got themselves a center for the next decade, and McCoy will definitely move to guard, and that will mitigate Warford departing after this season, which they probably would have acted upon anyway. And then, of course, with regard to Bond, they had him rated higher than he was picked. He's a playmaker. He's a player, a good program, smart, and a guy that I think is going to be a starter pretty quickly, if not immediately, with DeMario Davis. And then taking it to the tight end, Troutman, they don't need him to be that guy immediately with the presence of Jared Cook, and there's still dependability with Josh Hill. And yet you really like his ability, and they gave up a lot to get him, which tells you what they thought of him. And I had no problem with that. Probably the only question mark I had was, why make the move for Tommy Stevens? I think they felt like another team had already reached an agreement with him as an undrafted free agent, and they liked him enough to make that deal, but I'm not sure if that would be worth it or not long-term. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Stevens one didn't bother me. They've said this before. They said this when they took Alvin Kamara. They just got next year's sixth-round pick in the building a year early. So, if anything, you kind of like that. They drafted Stevens in the sixth round next year, and they get him in the building now. Yeah, I mean, that is one thing. They did also give up next year's third-round pick and that move up for Zach Bond. So, not only did they only have four picks in this year's draft, they also used two picks in next year's draft to do it. So that's putting a lot of eggs in one basket. But, yeah, if they had that much conviction, I mean, they said three guys in their top 40, one of whom they ended up taking at 105 overall. And that's not just, you know, an exaggeration. Like Mel Kiper had all three guys in his top 52. Three good players. If you get three good players out of a draft class, especially if one or two of them is a great player, that's a successful draft class. Now, you know, somebody could get hurt, somebody could not develop like they hoped, and then it falls flat. But if you have conviction in these three guys, I'd say, especially for a team that already has about 45 or 50 roster spots penciled in for this year, it's a roster that's going to be hard to make. This is hardly a team that needed eight or nine new guys.
Is there a position that the Saints did not address that you wish they would have addressed?
Well, not necessarily. Technically, I could say defensive end, but I don't know what Zach Bond is going to be. If they could somehow get six, seven, eight sacks out of him in some sort of hybrid linebacker, edge rusher position, then they kind of did address that. I would have liked to have seen one more defensive end edge rusher. I should say I would have liked to see them get an athletic linebacker and an edge rusher, and I don't know that Zach Bond can fill both of those holes because those were two of my top three needs for the Saints. But if he can, If he's a guy that is providing a little extra pass rush while also dropping back in coverage sometimes, then maybe they did fill two of their biggest needs with one player, which would be a huge bonus.
Are you comfortable with their defensive tackle position?
I am for now, because I'm still a Sheldon Rankins believer. If Sheldon Rankins hadn't gotten hurt this past year, I thought he should have been a Pro Bowler 2 years ago. I obviously like David Onyemata. Malcolm Brown was a good addition. Shai Tuttle seems like a good solid backup. Mario Edwards, the depth is okay. I do wonder about the future of that position since Rankins is in the final year of his deal and since he's battled injuries. But if you're telling me that Rankins can stay healthy this season, I like their depth there.
Right. Well, I feel the same way you do. It's really a wild card because of Rankins. You got a healthy Rankins, you're okay with it because you got depth. It's all about guys taking snaps, not about having great players. If you don't have a healthy Rankins, then you really have a problem at that position, in my estimation. So that would have been one, certainly, I would have looked at and said, maybe. You can never have enough in the secondary. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's always the case, and they have numbers at cornerback. This is going to be a telltale season for Marcus Williams, isn't it?
I think so. I can't quite make – I almost feel like Marcus Williams has had the same season three times in a row. Their secondary in general has gotten a lot better in the 3 years that he's been back there, and they've gotten a lot better at not giving up big pass plays. His problem has been tackling more than anything, and that's on three or four highlight plays a season. I mean, he has the Minneapolis Miracle. He has the George Kittle face mask play. I think he had one more where a quarterback bounced off him and got in the end zone. I can't remember exactly what quarterback it was. And so that makes fans throw their arms up in. But he's also a guy who, you know, when they're sacking Matt Ryan eight times because he can't find anybody open, and when they're going 13-3 2 years in a row, when we're talking about how great they're doing up front with all the pressure that Cam Jordan and them are getting on, it's because something's going right on the back end of that defense. So I think we expected to see more interceptions from Marcus Williams. I think we need to see better tackling from him. But in general, I can't necessarily say I think he's been a disappointment. I think he just hasn't taken that next step. But I think all three of his seasons in general, I would kind of give him the same grade for all three.
I wasn't suggesting that he was a failure. I think he's been okay. I think he's been a guy you can play with, but maybe you want to get better. And you want to see better from him, and I think that's kind of the way you look at it.
And he's a guy who seems to have some untapped potential there for sure. That's a guy who we thought was maybe going to become a Pro Bowler, and he hasn't taken that step yet.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it and what I was getting at in that particular area. A couple of minutes left. In terms of teams around the league, I mean, I listed as many as 10 teams that I thought had really good drafts. In terms of the NFC, right now, if you ask me today who the Saints have to beat, well, clearly it's the 49ers, but the second team I would put in there is Dallas. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, the 49ers, obviously, because they just got there. Funny, they made some high-profile additions, but they also had some high-profile subtractions, and they're almost one-for-one across the board. It's like they drafted a new exciting receiver, but they lost Emmanuel Sanders. They drafted a defensive tackle in the first round, but they lost their great defensive tackle to Indianapolis. And I think there was one more. Oh, yeah, they make the big trade for Trent Williams, but we find out Joe Staley's retiring. So if anything, they probably came out about even this year. Dallas is obviously a team who should be better. Tampa Bay in the division is a team who should be better. But, you know, every time we project that a team is going to be, you know, five wins better the next year, Arizona Cardinals, another one that people are talking about that, it doesn't always happen, but the amount of talent in Dallas is pretty staggering. I do agree with you there.
Yeah, I just think, look, I think the evidence, Jason Garrett's a great guy. We had him here with the Saints years ago as a player. Really nice guy. Everybody likes him. You wanted to see him succeed, but it's obvious he didn't get the most out of that team.
Right.
And now you've got a guy there that's won a Super Bowl, okay? And you've got a different philosophy, and you've added another. I thought they got a steal with CeeDee Lamb.
The
guy's a hell of a player. And I just think they got immensely better, and they already had the talent. So as much as fans don't like Dallas, I think they're definitely the other team that bears watching based upon that. Last thought before we let you get away, who did you feel in terms of teams, had the best drafts? Just a few teams that you may have observed that you felt really did a great job overall.
Yeah, there wasn't anybody who totally surprised me. The one team that, if I was in Vegas and I was going to put $50 on somebody, that was the Indianapolis Colts for their entire offseason. I felt like they were a team that was on the cusp last year before the bottom kind of dropped off. And just, you know, the big splashes they made in free agency, then a couple more nice draft picks adding to the offensive talent. We already know they have a great offensive line. We already know they have a good defense. That's the one team that when I looked at everything they did this offseason, I thought, oh, you know what? That's kind of a quiet team that that I wouldn't mind investing in.
Yeah, I think they did a very good job. Of course, the Ravens are all that. Chiefs are still all that, certainly.
Yeah, the Ravens did get to add a lot for a team that already won 14 games last year, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they had 10 draft picks. I mean, you know, that's a lot of capital to be able to get people that you want, and I like the players they got, too. So, look, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. We won't know about it for 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 down the road, but certainly on paper, it looks good for them. Mike, remind people about how they can watch your work every day, check it out, and follow you on social media.
Yeah, with ESPN, it's a little bit of everything. The website, you can read the stuff I've been doing. I'm going to be on taping something with Scott Van Pelt later tonight. So, you know, they're talking Saints on TV, obviously, with all the big news happening. And there's a page dedicated on the website to every team, or you can find all my stuff at Mike Triplett on Twitter.